Good afternoon again, brothers and sisters. Welcome. Happy Sabbath. Some of you we've met face to face. I know I have my wonderful co-worker. I won't take say his name. I don't know if he would want that, but later on when it's our sharing time, if anyone wants to say greets and a greeting to all the brethren, that is definitely welcome. We will continue today with our reading and discussion of the first epistle of John, chapter 3. But before we do that, I'll just like to offer a prayer for guidance, as I really need it, because when I do these, by the way, I call these types of readings evokings of Scripture. I call it that because I don't use any notes whatsoever. These past few weeks, as I've been teaching from the Scripture, as my heart is evoked by the words that I read, I share what is evoked in my mind and heart. So you too, when I'm done, you feel free to share what thoughts you may have that the Eternal has put in your hearts through this reading of 1 John chapter 3. Dear Father in heaven, in the matchless name of your Holy Son, Yeshua, our Savior and King, and your Holy Spirit, our Comforter, we thank you very much for this Sabbath day. We thank you for everything that was done so far, the songs, the prayers, the sharing of the readings. We thank you at this time that you guide each one of us, our minds, as we continue with the first epistle of John, that we grant us understanding so that we may understand clearly what you want us to understand today from the words that we are reading. Dear Father, bless each one of us in the matchless name of your Holy Son, Yeshua, our Savior and our King, and your Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sabbath, we left off verse 18 of the first epistle of John chapter 3. I'm going to go back a little bit up until verse 16. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Verse 17, "But if anyone has this world's possessions and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does Elohim's love abide in him?" Verse 18, "Little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth." And that's where we left off. One of our brothers, Brother Willard, had asked the question, how do we give when there are so many people that are just deceivers and just using it for the wrong cause? And we concluded that we give to those according to the Master's teaching. That says for us to give to those who ask us. In that process, as we're giving, we discover that person is actually using the money for evil, then we know in the future not to give to that brother or sister. But if we see no reason, if there has been no evidence that this person who's asking us for help is using it for evil, we should not turn away. We should not close our bowels of mercy, our hearts to someone who asks. And as Yeshua says, if you have two, you give one, and he will bless us abundantly. So let's continue with verse 19 through the end of that chapter. And if time permits, we will start chapter 4. Let's reread verses 19 of chapter 3 of the first epistle of John, verses 19 to verse 24. It says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, Elohim is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before Elohim." Verse 22, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him." Verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Yeshua Messiah," Yeshua the Anointed, "and love one another just as he has commanded us." Verse 24, "Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." Amen. A little while ago, when our brother Willard was just reading from the book of Galatians, he ended by making the observation, we must have true faith in Messiah. We must have true faith, and that is absolutely. And I'm so glad he said this, because as you see, This particular set of verses addresses that. How can we be sure? Okay, so let's look. Let's discuss this a little bit, verse 19 to 24. It says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and we reassure our heart before him." By what he said, stated in verses 16 through 18, that we are to be loving. We are to love, and he's very clear how to love. It's not an emotional thing. It's not just by emotions, but it's by our actions in helping others when they are in need. If we've proven, if it has not been shown to us that they're doing evil with the help they receive. So verse 20 says, "For whenever our heart condemns us, Elohim is greater than our heart. He knows everything." So if we are feeling guilty, our hearts is condemning us by something we did or didn't do, the Apostle John wants us to know Elohim is greater than our hearts because he knows everything. He knows everything. If we feel guilty and we are unrighteous, how do you think he sees us being he is holy and perfect? No sin can come before him, but he is very merciful and loving. What does he ask us? As we read in earlier chapters of the first epistle of John, he says we have to repent of our sins. That means we should be led by a righteous, a holy sorrow to say, "What have I done? I don't want to do this anymore. Please forgive me," and go. And not just say it, but if we took something that didn't belong to us, we return it. We must make restitution or reparations wherever is possible. When it's not possible, it's not possible. But wherever, whenever it's possible, if we've done wrong, we must do all we can to correct that wrong and then go to the altar of grace, of mercy, and ask for forgiveness. And what does the scripture says? He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. But we must repent. So when our hearts condemn us, know already how Elohim stands. He's holy, and he's expecting us to do what's right, to repent, and then come to him for mercy, for forgiveness, which he abundantly, abundantly gives. He doesn't hesitate begrudgingly. He does it abundantly, lavishly, with all his being. He forgives us. So verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before Elohim." So when we're doing, which is the positive, we must be people that are overcoming, not people that are standing and falling, standing and falling. We are to be people that are standing and progressing. That's what we should aim for. So if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence. We have that faith before Elohim. And with that faith comes a great blessing. Verse 22, what is that blessing? "And whatever we ask, we receive from him." Why? "Because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him." How many times people pray and pray and pray for all sorts of things and never receive an answer for their prayers? Often it's because they're not keeping the commandments of Elohim, which is commonly taught, as Brother Willard was saying, in the churches. There are false churches out there. We would wish we would not need to say that, but we need to make people aware of that. Because if we don't, people will go into these false places and have unnecessary hardships in their faith. Because if we don't keep the commandments of Elohim, then our prayers will not be heard. We're not walking in him. We're not with him. So we have to walk with him, and that's the purpose of his commandments, to let us know what pleases him. He tells us. We don't have to guess. He tells us in the Torah. He tells us in what's commonly called the Tanakh, the Old Testament scriptures, exactly what his will is, what pleases him. And meeting on the Sabbath like this is one of the things, doing good to others, to your neighbor, to all people, as we read in the book of Timothy. Pray for everyone. These are the things that pleases him. So when we do these things, we have confidence before Elohim, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. We could be sure that if we're obeying his commandments, watch and see. You keep praying, keep knocking, keep seeking. The door will be open. Our prayers will be heard. That's the wonderful blessing. And this is one of the things that sets the faith, which was once delivered to the saints, it sets this faith apart from all faiths, because we have the evidence of answered prayers. We have the evidence of healings, of deliverances, ongoing. It's not just something we read about. We don't just have a religious book. We have a living, active faith that causes things to happen, that brings healing, that delivers. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Verse 23, for notice it says, if we keep his commandments in plural. But the next verse is talking about a particular one of those commandments. One of those. It's not exclusive. It doesn't replace the others. He first addressed the commandments in plural as a whole. Now he's going to hone in one of those commandments because it's commonly neglected. It's commonly neglected. So that's why he is addressing it. So verse 23, and this is his commandment. One of those commandments is one of those that we believe in the name of his son, Yeshua Messiah, and love one another just as he has commanded. Who is the he? This is Elohim. This is Elohim's commandment that we believe in the name or the authority of his son, Yeshua Messiah. So let me just stop here. Often when people hear the name, they think it just means the Hebrew pronunciation or however. Yes, the name is a label for what he is, what he can do, his authority. I'm sure you've heard the people like the police officers stop in the name of the law, right? In the name of the law. What does that mean? Just the label L-A-W? No. It means in the authority that's behind the law. That's what's meant by in the name of the law. Stop in the name of the law, the police officer would say, right? So when it says in the name of Yeshua, that means in the authority of Yeshua. Remember when he was on earth? They were amazed by his teachings because they said, we've never seen anything like this. He speaks with such authority. He speaks and demons are cast out and so on. The healed are sick. So he has authority. As my brother just said, the sick are healed. That's what it meant by his name. There were many righteous people, but they did not have the authority he had. Just like you and I, we are by his mercies made righteous. But do we have that authority? Do we have that name? No, we don't. Not yet. But if we persevere in him, live righteously, whatever we ask, he will do. And Yeshua over and over said that. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. If you obey my commandments, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. That's why it's so important for us to be obedient. But here's that commandment. Again, verse 23. This is his commandment, that we believe in the authority, in the name of his son. Whose son? Elohim's son. Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua the Anointed, Yeshua the Master, Yeshua the Champion. And love one another just as he has commanded us. Who is this he? Elohim. Where do we have his commandments? All throughout what's called the Old Testament, the Tanakh and others, where he says, love your neighbor as yourself, possibly in Leviticus chapter 19 around there, in other places. So this is what we need to do as a congregation. We can't fail to do these things that John, the Apostle John, has been speaking. Once we do these things, he will make us strong and we will have authority. Just as he says to one of the churches, one of the seven congregations, John communicating the letter that Yeshua gave him, he says, you have a name. Right? Have a name. What does it mean you have a name? You have actual authority to affect things spiritually. As I was speaking to a brethren last Monday or so, I forgot when we were on the phone, Wednesday, we were on the phone. Well, he said, the congregation of Elohim is not about building hospitals and building schools. No, these are humanitarian things and they're fine, but that's what the secular world does. When Yeshua was on earth, there were plenty of schools back then. There were plenty of hospitals. There were plenty of doctors, physicians. He didn't call the apostles, the disciples to do that. Those things are all good things, but they are all achieved by carnal, meaning fleshy, human means. The congregation of Elohim, or as they would say, the church of Elohim, but I prefer to say the congregation of the Kahal, the congregation of Elohim, is being set up to have a name in Yeshua, a name that is demonstrated by the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, achieving great things. Don't be alarmed that you've not seen the so-called churches achieve greatness because they're not obeying his commandments. They're not being faithful. As a matter of fact, many of them are teaching not to keep the commandments. This is not apostolic teaching. This is not the faith of the Bible. This is not Abrahamic faith. Abrahamic faith in the name of Yeshua is to be able to do things through the power of the Spirit. That's why when it's time for prayer, we need to get together to pray for these things. So let me try to finish here. Verse 24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in him and he in them. How do we abide him? Remember Yeshua's prayer in John, where John records his prayer just before he was arrested. John chapter 17. I pray that they may be one. I pray that they may be in us
you and me, I and them, and they and us, you know, his prayer. Listen to what he says. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him and he in them. That's how that's achieved. Notice now in verse 24, he says his commandments, plural. So sometimes the false teachers will say, oh, we don't need to keep the commandments. We only have to love each other. No, we have to keep all the commandments, but especially love each other. That's what John is saying. That's why in verse 24, he uses the word keep his commandments. And in verse 23, he says commandment, specifically about love, but now he's reiterating that we need to keep all of them. And that's again, what, as we saw last time, that's exactly what our master, our wonderful Yeshua taught. Till heaven and earth pass, not one jot, not one tittle will pass from the law. I have not come to abolish the law of the prophets, I've come to fulfill them. Whoever relaxes or breaks and teaches others to do the same, they will be called least in the kingdom. But whoever does them will be called great, gadol, in the kingdom of Elohim. This is the master's teaching in Matthew chapter 5. Very important. So don't let anybody deceive you. And this is why the churches are so weak today. Do you notice that when they were closing non-essential things, that churches were closed? That's to show you they have no name. In the sight of society, these places called houses of worship have no name, according to them. And it's true. What can they do? What do they do except ask, pass a basket and ask for money and a lot of feel-good words? To accomplish is nothing. The sick remain sick. There's no name there. But we are to have a name. And that name is in Messiah Yeshua. It's real authority. And when we start having that name, people will start flocking and asking us, help me. Pray for me, because they know when we pray, something really will happen. It will not just be empty words. The prayers of the apostles were not empty words. You know, remember what Peter said when he saw the beggar who was crippled sitting at the beautiful gate coming on his way to the temple? He said, look upon us. Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give you. In the name, in the authority of Yeshua the Messiah, rise up and walk. And it happened. That's what we're called to do, brethren. So we have to understand, it's this type of thing we're called to do. So verse 24 to end, whoever keeps his commandments abides in him and he in them. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. When we keep his commandments faithfully, when the time comes, he will abide in us and he will give us the Spirit. And what is written in the New Testament about the Spirit? The Spirit will testify on our behalf. Amen. I stop here, dear brethren. So if you have any comments, please share with us, with everyone, what you noticed in these passages or what you've been hearing. The Eternal permitting, next Sabbath, we'll continue with the first epistle of John chapter 4, which is a very important chapter. Thank you, dear brethren.